This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ, 1360 a.m. and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK, 1140 a.m. and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH, 1230 a.m., The Source. On Same Geek Radio, 95.1 FM, 1460 AM. And Aliento Radio, 101.7 FM and 1540 AM. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then. Houston, this is Gilbert Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert with my sidekick, Ruby Dang.
Hey, Gilbert. Good morning.
Good morning to you. First of all, I've got to say that we got a lot of things going on this show. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple of new city council members that are going to call in to talk a little bit about what their agenda is. And of course, we've got that perennial Metro hater that again has another blog about against Metro. Here we go, another one. Clearly, he's lobbying to be on the Metro board. That's really what it's all about, Houston. And before we do that, what was up with this football game where the Oilers were in their old outfit,
right,
but they were the Texans?
Yeah,
I mean, they were the Titans.
Well, because that was the former.
I know, but where are the Oilers?
Well, that's true. I don't know.
I mean, it was just like I felt like I was in a time warp because, you know, when you think about Lovia Blue and all that, I mean, that's Houston.
Yep.
And there it was. We were playing our old
team.
I don't know what all that was about. And I don't know. But at the end of the day, don't you love that that blue?
Yes, I do.
It reminds me of Earl Campbell.
Yes.
Remember Earl? And it reminded me of Dan Pastorini.
Yeah.
And all of those great moments, remember?
I do.
And playing the Steelers three times in 1 year and all, I mean, the steel curtain.
The Astrodome.
In the Astrodome.
Right? Yep.
Yes. What memories. So I thought that we would first, you know, say, you know, touche to the whole Lubia Blue
era.
And then the other thing I'm going to be playing for you, Houston, is the new version, because last week we played the original of Pure Imagination with Gene Wilder from Willy Wonka. Well, the new Wonka is out, and I want to go, and I did not go, but some of my friends saw it and they said it is magical. It is phenomenal. And so we're going to play the song. And this one is by Timothy
Chalamet. Yes.
And who is he again?
Well, he's an actor. I know.
What was he in?
He's been in several movies. I apologize. I don't even know. But all I do know that he is dating one of the Kardashians.
Come on.
The one who was dating that rapper. Oh my gosh.
Kanye?
No. Not
another one?
The other one. Kylie. He's dating Kylie.
Who's also dating the rapper?
Who used to date a rapper who's from Houston. The one who did that Astrodome. Gosh. Well, there you go. I don't know much about music, I guess. I forget his name.
Well, at the end of the day, you had me until you told me he's dating one of the Kardashians. I mean, you know, but I don't know what he's in. Yeah, I need to know what he's in.
I recognize him.
And does he sing? Because he sings in this.
He must sing if he's in the Wonka movie.
He's in the Wonka movies.
That's the original.
The new Wonka movie.
Yeah.
And he sings.
I'm assuming the remake has all the beautiful music.
It does. Well, it's got apparently new beautiful music. Mm-hmm.
Well, then he must sing.
He must sing. Well, all I want to know is this. Are you ready for Christmas?
No, I'm not. I just found out this morning that Christmas is this coming weekend. So, no, I'm not.
It's this weekend?
It's this weekend.
Houston, did y'all all know that Christmas is this weekend? The studio audience knows. wow, that's like in not even 7 days away.
7 days, yeah. Less.
Have you done your Christmas shopping?
No, I'm letting my husband take care of all that. So I'm hoping it all goes well.
Am I on your list?
Well, I'll ask my husband.
I need to be on the list.
Okay.
You know, remember the old, he's making a list, checking it twice.
Yep.
Well, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, I'm making the list.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be a wonderful time. Of course, for me, my son came into town.
How great.
I'm so blessed to have him. And then my other son will be here in 3 days.
Oh, how great.
So we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful holiday time. And that's great. Always the most incredible thing of all.
Yeah, it's true.
So I had speaking of Metro, I happened to have the opportunity, me and you, to go before the board. And we went and we spoke to the board about several things. The most important thing we said is touche to Chief Tom Lambert.
Yes.
He's been there. Are you ready for this? 45 years.
I can't believe that. Wow.
And you thought you were a long time here. You've been here how long?
Next year will be 30 years.
So imagine this. All the time you've been here times 0.5, meaning a whole nother time, 45 yeah. years. Can you imagine 45 years with one place?
Wow.
And he was been the CEO, one of the best things that we ever did and I ever participated in, because I was the chairman of Metro, is making him the interim CEO.
Yep.
And he then became the CEO.
Yes.
And you know what? He's such an honorable man. We were so busy, because remember back then in 2010, Metro was really going in the wrong direction.
Right, that's right.
And so we were working very hard, doing lots of things, and it was just a handshake. Mm-hmm. There was no contract for the man.
Yes, I remember just that.
His word, my word, and there we did. And we got a contract for him much later, several years later.
I remember that.
Remember that? Yes, and he was phenomenal.
Yes.
And it really shows you that you can find good people from within.
Yes. Well, you know, he had the experience of working throughout Metro. So with taking that knowledge and his leadership skill, well, I only expected the best. So.
Well, me too. But still, it is phenomenal because back then, if you go back in time, the mold was Metro would go on this big search, would spend like $200,000 or $300,000 to get someone to find someone.
Yep.
And it would always be someone that blew up some other city.
Yep.
And they would bring him here and they would have this big fat contract, and they didn't know anyone. They would come in and bully their way in. And then by the end of their term, we had to run them out of town. But then, of course, they would get a big severance.
Money. Yep.
And it's kind of like, why do all that?
Yep.
And so that's why I thought, you know what, let's find someone within. And we found who at the time was the police chief, and he was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And he really had the respect of all the rank and file, right?
Right.
He knew all the members. He knew everybody. He knew everything. And what a great choice he was.
Yes, I agree.
I want to play now the song, the new version from Wonka, which is the pure imagination,
mm-hmm.
because you know what? It is pure joy. And when I hear it, I don't know. It's got a spiritual feeling to me. I just can't even, you know, just imagine this whole place that he describes. It's like a modern day chocolate heaven,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
So let us play the Timothy Chalamet's version of Pure Imagination. Hit it.
In a world of pure imagination.
Turn it up just a little bit, Mr. Producer.
Reach out, touch what was once just in your imagination.
Oh, I love it already,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Don't be
shy. I guess he is a singer.
Yes.
It's all right if you feel a little trepidation. Sometimes these things don't need explanation. If you want to view
What amazing words, right? If you want to see paradise.
Somebody to hold on to. It's all we really need. Nothing else to it.
Oh, I love it already.
Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation.
Oh my goodness, I might like it better. I don't know.
If you want a view,
it's a little more upbeat.
Yes, simply it's modernized.
And view it. Anything you want to do it.
What a change the world.
There's nothing to it. Nothing to it. There is no life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be.
All sacrifice.
Wonderful, wonderful. I just love it. Here we go. I've got some to say. The rapper for Jesus dating Kylie Jenner. Oh, Travis Scott.
There we go. Of course.
Thank you. Is that Alexandra Johnson? Thank you for that. I want to go back to Metro because, again, you got Metro haters out there. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, it's like they got nothing better to do. And it seems like, you know, Bill Kring's been writing about Metro, seems like, you know, his whole life. I guess he's just a very unhappy person because mm-hmm. he just has to talk about him every other time. And, of course, he's trying to get on the board. Now, he wrote something very interesting, though, because he talked about needing more bus shelters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got a call. Alejandro. Let's get Alejandro. And then we're going to come back to this, Ruby.
Perfect.
Alejandro, are you there? Alejandro, are you there?
Hi, Gilbert. Good morning.
What do you got, my friend? You're talking to a tip from Gilbert's.
Oh, nothing. I just wanted to wish you a happy holidays. I know next week is Christmas and all, and I'm not sure if you're having a show. I missed the first part of the radio show, but I wanted to wish you and the entire team a happy holidays, very safe Christmas. And any plans specifically that you'll be doing?
Well, I'm going to have all my kids here. And that in and of itself is the greatest gift of all.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know about you then. So what is Christmas at your house? What are you going to do? And what kind, you know, what does it mean for you?
Well, for me, it's all about having the family together. When I had all my grandparents, it was a bigger celebration. And little by little, you know, they got ahead of us. And, you know, so the family kind of split up a little bit. But now we have smaller but more intimate family gatherings. And then in the Alejandro's household, we like to make tamales.
Tell us, you got what?
To make tamales. As part of our tradition. So we just finished making about 500 tamales not that long ago.
500?
500 tamales.
Well, you know what?
They were good. I ate them all by myself.
You made them?
I ate them. I didn't make them all by myself. I ate them all by myself.
Well, you know, I had a colleague of mine that works for us here, and he made tamales, or his family, and I bought, I think, 12 dozen. Did you get any?
I did, yeah.
And, you know, the thing about in the Latino, tradition, number one, making tamales.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it was like the thing that all the comadres would do, right? All the mothers and all the aunts, and they all get together. And of course, they would all fight the whole time about nothing. But yet they'd all make tamales. And when you make tamales, you got to like make a bunch. Because it's so much work that it's just as much work to make like three dozen as it is to make, you know, 300 dozen. And I remember going to my grandmother's house and my uncle's house because they lived together. And there would be the big pig head in the pot that they were, you know, cooking all day long. And that would be what they would pull out the pork. And I remember there were a big pile of the husks, you know, and then they get the masa, and the masa was just like a, this is before you could just get the kind that you buy at the store. You just put water and they would make it from scratch. Right. Which is like nothing but lard. And then there they are and do their whole hands, and everybody's got their hands in it and they're squeezing it and everything. And then you sort of like push it in there, you know, in the husk, and then you put the pork in there and you put them all in the oven. And I remember it would smell so great, right? The whole house would smell. Of course, the house was, you know, 300 square feet probably. And, you know, we had a wood floor. And I remember wood floor, like real wood, like plywood, as the floor. And those are great times. Did y'all make them yourselves?
We did. We, like you said, straight from with a bit of lard, a little bit of flour. I'll admit, it's my mom who makes most of it. I'm just there to fill it with overflow with meat, and maybe wrap a little bit. And also, you know, product testing, because she tends to sell to some of my Diaz and stuff like that. So I make sure that
that's the greatest job ever, the product testing. Yeah, so
he really just gave you the real thing he does. He eats. He product tasted. What we would do at my aunt's is, because they had so much stuff, they would make chicken tamales and they would do bean tamales. Did y'all make anything besides pork?
We do cheese and cheese and jalapeno.
I've never had that.
That one's my favorite.
Is that like more like an enchilada? Is that
it would be the same thing as a regular tamale, but instead of having pork with salsa or chicken, we fill it with a bunch of cheese.
But is it liquid cheese, or is it like actual melted cheddar?
It's not exactly quesadilla cheese, but it does get a little chewy, a little gooey.
Ooh, I like it. I love gooey. Man, well, I'm so grateful that you would share what it means to be in your household for Christmas and the holidays. That's a beautiful thing. And hang on to it as long as you can, my friend.
Well, we'll do. Thank you, Gilbert. And have a happy holiday week. And thank you again for everything you do. And I'll talk to you soon.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for coming in. He called in about a week or two ago, I remember. And going back, I think that if anyone wants to call in to say what Christmas is to them, call in, because we'd like to hear. I'm going to go back to this whole thing here about, it says here, Metro's, oh, we have another caller, excuse me. Let's check that one. Isidro. One moment, Isidro. Isidro, is that you? Isidro. Isidro, is that you?
My dear friend, how you doing?
Isidro, what is it like at Isidro's household for the holidays? That's what Houston wants to know.
Well, it's going to be full of people. We have a small house, maybe, I want to say, about 1,200 square feet, three-bedroom. And we have 11 people living in it. And then I've got my mom. She is 94, and we're going to, God willing, we're all going to be together several times. She has forever, as long as I remember, had a posada on the 23rd of December. And nobody invites anybody. People get mad. They say, you didn't call me.
Just like family.
But, yep.
Yes, but we have a... there we have over 60 people.
Wow.
And tamales and buñuelos, and matachines, and folkloric dancing. Just really, really nice. And it's a tradition that they've instilled in us since we were little kids. I even remember the first posada I went. I was all scared when I saw a guy dressed up, and one of them was a devil. Oh, wow. And I still remember. I don't know how old I was. I would say 3 or 4 or 5, but I still remember. And then you learn the significance of just approaching the birth of Jesus Christ, and what a greater a tradition. And a lot of that, I know different people have different traditions, but you know, it's very difficult to surpass or match the Mexican tradition, and I credit that to La Virgen de Guadalupe, that came when there was no hope. The Spanish had taken over 1519, and in 1531 she appears as Juan Diego because the natives had no hope. They had taken all of their riches, the gold and everything that was there. Mexico is still full of riches, but Juan Diego, La Virgen Guadalupe appeared to Juan Diego with hope. And to today, the mantle that she left is still worshipped. I'm sure all of you know, and some of you may have visited it in the cathedral there in Mexico City. It's the image of the Virgen de Guadalupe that somehow or another, and scientists have tried for 400 years, more than that, that's 1500, now we're 2000, for 500 years to try to disprove it. And they say we can't explain it. Well, that's when we start really putting ourselves in our place. Where are we in life? And in answer to your question, you know, we're here to serve God. We're here to serve others. God, family, and in family, there's a lot of tradition, and serve others. And there's no better example of serving others than my mayor.
Well, that is so kind of you to say. You know, it's in these times that you really start appreciating everything that you have. And and rather than complain about the things you don't have, but to really just be grateful for what you have. And I just think that we need a little bit more of that these days, don't we, Ruby?
Yes, we do.
Don't we, Isidro? Just a little bit more of being just outright just grateful for the things that we have.
Yes, and there's a verse in Philippians that basically says, I've learned to live with a lot. I've learned to live without anything. And I'm as happy when I have a lot and when I don't have anything. Mm. So you said it last time I talked to you. We had a conversation. You said we don't take anything when we die, and so when you finally buy into that, then you say, okay, now God has blessed us, but He also is looking at us to see what we do with those blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And once we realize that is where you really find God's peace, when you're helping others without any expectation of anything in return, then you really have God's peace. Agape, grace, Christ-like love. Grace meaning given, not earned. Gilbert, you've seen many, many dollars go through, yes, they continue going through your hands every day. Billions of dollars. You've really been blessed. Other people's monies, but they put them into your trust, and why that happens is because you are trustworthy, and you've learned, you really have learned the lesson. You can't serve two gods. You can't serve money and serve God.
And so that's why you have done so well. And, oh, you know, it's like you're saying, let's look at the positive. There'll be other political agendas further up and for Gilbert. And we're the benefactors because you don't look to serve yourself. You look to serve others.
That's right. Well, those are such kind words and beautiful words. And I sure hope that over the holidays, God blesses y'all. And I'm so thrilled to hear that your mom is going to be there at, what was it, at 93?
94.
94?
Said, yeah. 94, yes.
Oh, my God. What a blessing.
Yes, it is a blessing.
Well, take pictures and cherish those times.
We will. And thank you so much for everything that you do. Ruby, same thing. You keep him straight when he starts hitting the bumpers. We all try to do that. We all do that every now and then. But you're the bumpers on the road for him to make sure.
Believe me, she'll make sure I know. Well, Ishida, thank you for calling in, my friend.
Thank you. God bless you.
Yes, sir. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Let's go to Julian. Julian, are you there?
Julian,
are you there? Julian, are you there?
I am. Gilbert, how are you?
Julian, this is Gilbert Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert with my sidekick, Ruby Dang. And I want all of Houston to know that we have a new councilman, and that's awesome. Mr. Julian Ramirez. Awesome. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, Gilbert. I truly appreciate that. I'm so excited to be the new council member for At-Large Position 1 and can't wait to get started.
Well, let me ask you this. So, I mean, what's it like? I mean, you know, you first of all, I would see you on the campaign trail, and you were always such a gentleman. What's it like now that, you mean, do you pinch yourself and say, man, I'm a councilman now and I got to get to work? I mean, what's it like and how does it feel?
Wow. You know, night and day, Gilbert, you know, just the week before the runoff, I mean, I'm literally begging for people for votes and support. And then the following week, you know, now that I'm a council member elect and going through orientation, I don't have a first name anymore. Everybody's calling me council member.
That's a beautiful nice thing. That is so, you got all these new friends jokes, now.
And my jokes are all funny, you know.
And you know what else? And you're handsome now. Actually, you know what? I've always been an admirer of your hair. Now, that's not because I have none, but I've always been an admirer of your hair. Let me ask you this, Councilman Julian, real quick, for real. What are the first, I don't know, three or four things you got going on your agenda? What do you think this is all going to go here over the next 100 days?
Well, I really want to sit down with the mayor and talk about the crime lab, Gilbert. I know the mayor's going to be focused on adding more police officers to the police force. That's one thing I talked about everywhere I went. But I also talked about the backlog at the crime lab and how getting that down is essential to keeping our crime statistics low and reducing the backlog at the courthouse. So I want to sit down with him and talk to him about how I feel about that and sort of maybe offer some suggestions on what we might do to get that down and take his temperature on that.
Well, I remember you would talk all about that on the campaign, and you're one of the few, in fact, I think you might be one of the only to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your whole history there at the DA's office and why you know so much about it and why it's so important to you.
Sure. Gilbert, you know, I spent 27 years at the district attorney's office prosecuting a lot of violent crime and public corruption and investigating civil rights cases as well. Tens of thousands of cases I've handled, hundreds of cases tried before judges and juries. I know how things at the courts work, and I know what a serious issue this is, this more than 4,500 case backlog at the crime lab. And we have to break the ice there and dislodge all those cases so that we can be safer and the court dockets can move more smoothly.
God, and when you think about that, let's just pretend I have no idea. So I'm going to say something that's just I'm trying to get a data point. Let's say it takes 10. It takes one day, takes 10 to solve. That means you have a whole more than a year. And I'm sure it's more than 10 a day. You know, how did we get here?
Well, you know, one of the issues that we've had is keeping people on staff. Number of people left, leaving them shorthanded. That didn't help. Sometimes it's the district attorney's office responsibility for turning in requests late, you know, not requesting them right away, like maybe they should. So there are a number of factors that are involved. But one thing I think we could be doing is farming more of these cases out of the city of Houston to other labs and getting them to process them for us. That, of course, is going to take funding. And I think the crime lab has not been funded appropriately.
And does that come from the city or the county or both? Or the
that comes
sheriff
from the city.
It comes from the city.
That comes from the city. That's right. The Houston Forensic Science Center serves the city of Houston and handles city of Houston cases.
Very, very interesting. I think you're going to be a very good council member, not just because of you, but this niche you have to really, speak at the horseshoe about these things that you know that I bet you the others don't know. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be great.
I hope so. And, you know, I kind of view council as a group of 16 people, all of whom bring different experiences and backgrounds and expertise to the table to benefit the city.
Well, you had such a great campaign primarily because you were always positive. You never threw any stones at anybody. You just were positive. And I think that resonated with the voters. And I think it was so great. Before I let you go, I want to make sure, what is Christmas like at your household? I know you have a young son. Actually, he's not young really anymore. I guess he's a teenager. But what's your best memory of Christmas for your family and for you when you were growing up? And then what tradition do you have that you've maintained?
Well, you know, it's always been about being surrounded by family and, of course, you know, commemorating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Those things are uppermost in my mind about every Christmas. If those things are not part of it, then it's no fun and it's not special. And I would say, you know, special memories revolve around being together as a family, you know, having a big meal and just enjoying time together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do your parents, are they with us? Or do they live in Houston?
No, unfortunately, they've both passed on, Gilbert. Yeah,
I understand. You know, I have my mom, and my mom is 85 years young. We lost my father about 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. But if you want to hear, wow, Ruby Dang's parents are both, how old again, Ruby?
They're both 93, so I'm very blessed.
Man.
Can you imagine that? They're still kicking, and they're still, you know, got opinionated and all those
yes,
wonderful things. How wonderful.
That's great.
And tell me, your 13-year-old son, I'm going to say something so he doesn't hear us. Does he still believe in Santa Claus? I mean, does he know Santa? Or is he just no, Dad, come on.
He figured that one out a while ago.
I understand. You know, when my kids were growing up, my wife would always lay out cookies and like footprints and things, and she would bite a cookie, and my kids would wake up saying, Santa Claus was here. Oh my God. They would do all those things. Oh, it's so beautiful. Well, Councilman, we really are looking forward to you making a mark. And I think given some of the new things, right, like council members have more of a voice, I think it can only be helpful there at the horseshoe. And you can already see that with some of the council members really pushing through, in my opinion, the whole water and how you can plant, bring it to the attention of public works and so forth. Had it not been for those council members, those three, I don't think the mayor would have done anything.
You're absolutely right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's like one of the best purposes of that whole new rule, because you can nudge or prod the mayor into taking action on an item. And that's exactly what these three council members, Amy Peck, Mary Nan Huffman, Carolyn Shabazz Evans did. And kudos to them.
Amen. Well, we are so grateful to have you on the show. And so I want to give just to you a plug here. If people want to get in touch with you or your office, I mean, being an at-large is very different than a district, because you really are, I don't know the right word, but more statesmanly like, and right. And you're really dealing with issues that are all over the city rather than just your neighborhood. So if people want to reach out to you, do you already have your, like, your chief of staff, or do you have a phone number or a website or anything yet?
I can give you the email address where you can always reach us. We all of us, my entire staff is going to look at the email, so we'll see it. It's @HoustonTX.gov, G-O-V. Now, I don't have the phone number memorized yet, but you can always reach us at that email. And certainly, you can look the phone number up, welcome to call us, but we will all check the email @HoustonTX.gov.
Amen. Councilman, thank you for calling in. You're such a joy. I think you're going to do great work. And you know what? The city of Houston is behind you. So make it so, as they say.
Oh, thank you so much, Gilbert. I'm real excited. I'm going to work every day to keep the public trust.
Amen.
You can count on that.
Amen. Well, thank you for calling in.
You bet. Merry Christmas, everyone.
And to
Merry
you, too.
Christmas.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. What a gem he is.
Yes.
I mean, he's just such a good, solid citizen. I'd see him on the campaign trail. Never would take a shot at anybody.
Right.
Just a gem of a man. And, you know, his career there at the DA was just tremendous.
Yeah, that's
I never knew till all that. And so how wonderful. I think we have two or three more callers already. So what do we got there? We've got, is there a Catherine there? Is there a Catherine there? Catherine, are you there? Catherine.
Yes.
Hold on there, Houston. We're getting Miss Catherine. Catherine, are you there? Catherine, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Gilbert.
How are you doing?
Good, good. I'm doing good.
Well, thank you for calling A Tip from Gilbert, Talk, Inspiration, and Prayer with me and my sidekick, Ruby Dang. And by the way, we are on 5 stations right now, KWWJ, KYOK, KCOH, Aliento, and San Geet. And of course, all you got to do, Houston, if you want to talk a little bit about anything, is call 832-570-8075. Catherine, what do you got in, you know, what goes on at the Catherine household for Christmas?
Well, in my household, it's always very chaotic.
Ah!
Big Mexican family.
It wouldn't be Christmas any other way.
There's a do you know the movie Shrek? Do y'all know Shrek?
I do.
Sorry?
Do you know the movie Shrek?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Remember Donkey?
Yes.
The character Donkey? Do you know that one, the character, Catherine?
Yes.
Okay. He says on there, he goes, Christmas is not Christmas till somebody cries. and boy, I think he's talking about a big, you know.
He's talking about every family.
Yeah, every family. Well, tell us some more. I want to hear all about the Catherine Christmas. So tell us some more.
Well, we usually host it at my house, actually. And so there's like 30 plus people crammed into this little, you know, one story house, all these kids and babies running around, crying, fighting, whatever. All, you know, everyone's crowded around the TV watching the game that's on.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then we do our big old gift exchange where, we put all the gifts in the middle, and then we have a couple people go, you know, read the names, start handing them out to the right people. And in my family, we also like to play this game. I don't know what it's called. We call it the ball. But basically, you get like these little gifts and you wrap them all up in saran wrap. And there's like different gifts, like gift cards, you know, money, scratch offs, or like maybe like little accessories, things like that. And you put them in different layers of this saran wrap ball and you make it really big. And then you're given oven mitts and you have to try to unwrap the ball as fast as you can. And whatever falls out as you're unwrapping it, that's like something you get to keep.
Wow. I love that. I love that.
Yeah. And so it gets very competitive and you only have like 10 seconds, you know, try and unwrap as much as you can. And then you have to hand it off to the next person.
Oh my God. Well, the best part I love you say was all the kids running around crying. Oh God. Mm-hmm. How great is that? Well, tell me, so what do y'all eat? Do y'all have like a big, you know, turkey or do you have a bunch of tamales or what do you got?
We have all sorts of things. We have turkey. We have tamales. We got cookies. In my family, we like to make Christmas cookies from scratch.
Wow.
Like every Christmas Eve or so, like we just all get together and we just do a bunch of baking and we make all these cookies from scratch. And then, you know, Christmas Day, we get to eat them all.
Wow. It sounds like pure joy. And then, of course, you watch the game. And then, of course, after the game, a couple of people end up napping. Is that right, Ruby?
You know, hopefully, the crying kids.
They just sleep on the couch, right? mm-hmm. Boy, I know I like to sleep on the couch. Of course, my wife, you know, says I keep denting the couch. you know, I keep pushing it in, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just love doing that. Well, Catherine, I think that is so wonderful. So let me ask you this: have you made any New Year's resolutions?
No, to be honest.
but you got to think of them because, you know, New Year's is coming. And the one thing I never liked doing, but my mom would always make us do when we were little, was eat those black eyed peas.
Oh, ooh.
I know.
Oh, yeah,
no. Oh, she'd always say, you got to do it for good luck. And then, you know, I would try to get them in my mouth and I just would like swallow them because I didn't want to chew on them. Because when you chew them, that's when all the
mushy.
Yeah. And then, you know, yeah, it's nasty. And for anybody who likes black eyed peas, feel free to call in and tell us why you like them. I think that's wonderful. Well, are your parents with us?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
how
they
great.
Are.
And they're going to come to your house?
Yes.
And then
it's actually at their house where we have all that.
Okay. So they'll all go to your parents' house. And then does everyone like help clean up or everybody just leaves and it's like a tornado?
No, we always have to help clean up. during the party, you know, kind of towards the end, they'll bring out the trash bags and be like, all right, everyone, you know, throw all your trash in here before you leave.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, I am very grateful that you would call in. Do you want to say anything to Houston to wish everybody a Merry Christmas?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays and that everyone stays safe.
Amen. Thank you for calling in. That's very kind of you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye now. Thank you for calling in. You know, I saw one of our, every now and then the producer will show us things that people have typed in.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlotte Garcia talked all about leave that one on, how Christmas at her house is tamales,
mm-hmm.
that they have lots of tamales. And here's another one. Deborah Ford says, tamales are Christmas tradition for my family as well. Usually go to Alamo. Very good. There's Charlotte on. We are having too many tamales for Christmas. Well, you know what, Charlotte? That's going to be me and my sons. We bought about 12 dozen that I'm taking home today.
I think I don't know if it was just on the Houston Chronicle online this weekend, they had like the top 10 places to get tamales. So
really?
They highlighted different restaurants. They highlighted the Alamo. I mean, because I guess it's a big business.
Is this like you go eat there and eat them there or you go pick up a bunch?
They're restaurants, right? So you could eat there or you could, I guess, take them home. But I mean, some of them were going as high as $25 a dozen.
Wow.
That's crazy. And they had all different types of tamales, you know, the traditional. They had those with like that banana green leaf as opposed to the regular husk.
Yep.
And different fillings. So if you don't want to make them,
There you go. Very good. Do we have another caller already? Oh, we have another caller. Hold on a minute. Is there a Pastor Cummings on the line?
Pastor Cummings? Okay,
I'll come to you now. Hold on a minute. Pastor, are you there? Pastor, are you there? Pastor.
Mr. Gilbert, how are you, sir?
Pastor, how are you? Thank you for calling in.
Oh, man, I'm doing well. I always enjoy the show, but I am particularly excited about this show because you are talking about two things that I am passionate about, and that is food and family. And not necessarily in that order, but definitely two things.
Food and family. What's the big tradition in your house?
Christmas. Well, actually, the day before Christmas Eve, my wife cooks a huge pot of seafood gumbo.
Ooh.
And of course, it's called seafood gumbo. There's blue crab, snow crab, and then shrimp, and then some other stuff, some okra, some sausage, some other stuff. But it's got to have the seafood. It's got to have the seafood. And then on Christmas morning, we all go to my parents' house, and Dad cooks breakfast for everyone.
Wow.
So, nice. I mean, it's made to order. So if you want an omelet with three meats, there's an omelet with three meats.
Wow.
If you want waffles, pancakes, whatever you want, he makes it to order. And that's been the tradition for a number of years. Both of those have been a tradition for a number of years.
Well, let me ask you this. Obviously, at the church, Pastor is the pastor at the Victory International Church.
That's right.
And, you know, how's it been going there at the church? Because I remember when y'all opened, I don't know, about a year or so ago, and I've seen the wonderful things that you do to give away food and turkeys and things to the community. So God bless you. And I've participated in some of those. But every time I go, and I've been to, a handful of times, people are so nice to me, Pastor. I mean, they make me feel like I'm part of the family.
That's right.
Yeah. And again, first of all, you are part of family, number one. But number two, I will say that we could not have been able to do so many of the things that we do at Victory International Church without your support. And so we thank you for everything that you do to make it possible for us to do God's work, which is what we love to do. And so the church is going fine. We're growing. We tell people that we love Christ, and there is no better way to demonstrate that you love Christ than to treat everybody with kindness, than to love everyone. And so when you walk through the door, we want to make sure that you feel loved. And it doesn't matter to us what you look like, what background you come from, how much, money you have, income you don't have, what language you don't speak, because we have a Spanish service as well. We want you to feel love. Listen, if you can't get love from the church, then,
that's right.
Then where else can you get it from? So we wanted to make sure that people feel love whenever they walk through the doors at the Victory International Church.
Well, you can feel it. And the church itself is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
It's big. It's beautiful. It's like an octagon or something. It's like it's a beautiful shape. So the acoustics are really great. And everyone has sort of like a really good seat. It's just phenomenal.
Right.
Well, let me ask you this, Pastor, because, we're now getting ready for primaries and all these positions are up and new people are going to be running for news things. Is there anything in your plans that we need to share with Houston?
Well, I am excited to announce that I am a candidate for the Harris County Tax Assessor Collector position. Excited about that. I've been around politics for a long time. I've never run for office. So this is my first time running for office. And to be honest with you, it's a bit overwhelming.
It's a cool thing.
It is. Now, it is. It's exciting, but it's a lot of hard work, as I know you know, that goes into it. While it is exciting, it's a bit overwhelming for the amount of work and preparation, that has to go into launching and getting things going. But we know that it's going to be great. We have a lot of support, finding a lot of support. So we're excited about it.
And, you know, the position, correct me if I'm wrong there, Pastor, is a county position. Is that correct?
It is. It is okay. A countywide position. And so anyone who is located throughout Harris County can vote. Wow.
And of course, it is going to be an open position. Is that correct there, Pastor?
Yes, it is an open seat. Ann Harris Bennett did an amazing job while she was in the office, and she is going to pursue some other things. So we'll be an open seat. There are five candidates on the ballot. I did have the opportunity to participate this weekend in pulling for my place in the ballot.
Oh, you did?
I did.
And where are you?
Yes, sir. So I am Claude Cummings III, and I am in position number 3.
Okay, so you're right in the middle. That is great. Right in the middle. Yeah. So let me ask you this, Pastor. What does the position do? Obviously, I guess it collects all the property taxes.
Sure. Yeah.
And but what all does it do? What are some of the things it does?
Yeah, and so I like to tell people that the primary job is in the title, tax, assess, and collect. So you assess the property values and you collect the taxes that, you know, the residents of Harris County pay. But in addition to that, also voter registration and then vehicle registration. Those are the main responsibilities of that office. But I would say this, I want to do something. And again, nothing against anyone who's ever been in that position. We've had some great tax assessor collector, but I want to be more of an advocate. And when I say advocate, I want to be in that position to help people keep their property. So many individuals lose their property because they can't afford to pay the taxes. And what I like to tell people is I don't want people to feel like paying their taxes is like going to the dentist, right? It's a necessary evil. And it's something that can be, you know, unpleasant for many. But, you know, God blesses me to get in that position. I want to do more to help people keep their property. I just think you shouldn't be able to. Buying a home is one of the biggest commitments any of us will ever make. And I just don't believe you should lose either your property or inherited property, right? Property that's been passed down to you so easily because you cannot pay your taxes. So first and foremost, I want to be an advocate in that office to help people keep their property.
Amen. What a great philosophy.
Well, yeah,
that's, you know, true. I mean, of course, you've got to, you know, do what you got to do. But at the end of the day, to have the mindset of, how can I make sure these people can make it?
Right.
Amen to you, Pastor.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you.
And I'll say this briefly. It just kills me that when we look at how there's such an increase in goods, food prices, you know, clothing is such an inflation. Everything is so inflated that there's a family trying to decide if they want to eat or pay property taxes.
Oh, my goodness.
If they want to eat or keep their home. And so I would just love to be in a position so I can make it possible for people to be able to do both.
I think you're going to be an angel in disguise there to help people because we know that the choice that you make, if you got to put food on the table for your kids, that's what you got to do.
Right.
That's what you got
to
do.
And exactly. And that's what everyone does. You know, when I've gone to some of the things that you've done on the turkey giveaways, etc.
Right.
And there are people lined up for hours. And that's how you know people are hurting and need help and support. And so thank God for the work that you do. Let me ask you this. How many employees are in that department? Do you know offhand? It's a big department, right? I think it's a big.
But it is an absolutely huge department. I mean, when you consider, let's just say how many annexes there are, right? So we've all maybe had to go into an annex to get our vehicle registration. When you think about how many annexes there are throughout the county and how many employees it takes to run those offices, it's a large task. It's a large responsibility. You know, but I feel like I'm up to the task. I'm definitely something, again, I want to do. I'm looking forward to going through this whole process. The primary is in March. And so we'll be working hard campaigning getting not only my name out there, but also my platform out there. And again, I pray that it's something that people feel that is needed, and I can get their support.
You know, that's right around the corner.
Yeah, March.
That's right around the corner. Yeah. We got to get to work,
weeks.
Pastor.
10 weeks until early voting. Ten weeks.
Wow, man. Didn't it seem like we just had an election, Ruby?
Yes.
It just seemed like it. So.
Well, Pastor, I'm going to put your pastor hat on if you don't mind, because
yes, sir.
Would you mind saying a prayer for the world, for Houston, but really for the world in these times, when you see what's going on in the Middle East, when you see what's going on there in Russia, Ukraine, it's just heartbreaking.
It is.
And sometimes you just want to say, you know, stop the madness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are people, these are lives, these are children, these are, you know, people's hopes and dreams. And if you wouldn't mind just saying a prayer for all of us, that we don't lose our humanity along our journey of life.
Sure. I will definitely do that. Don't mind at all. So let us pray. Father in heaven, we come first and foremost, God, we have to thank you for this day. We have to thank you for giving us life. We have to thank you for giving us another opportunity to give you thanks and praise for all the wonderful things that you have done. God, and when we say wonderful things, that doesn't mean that we don't have needs, we don't have wants, we don't have desires. But the reason why we pray to you is because we know that you are able to provide. Not only provide, but provide in abundance those things in which we lack. So we say thank you. God, we know that all of the atrocities that are taking place over the world do not catch you by surprise. There is absolutely nothing that happens that you are not aware of. And so, God, we, first of all, thank you for being there with those individuals and being there with us. As we face our various trials and tribulations, let us not lose hope, even in the worst times of our lives. Let us not lose hope, and let us continue to turn to you, because again, we know that you are one who can heal where healing needs to take place. You are one who can comfort where comfort needs to take place. Again, you are one who can provide where it is also needed. And so, God, again, just keep us strong. Place upon the hearts and minds of everyone to make this a better place, to make this world a better place, so that we can all experience the type of peace that only you can provide, a peace that surpasses all understanding. And again, God, we ask you and we come to you because we know that you can provide exceedingly and abundantly everything that we need. So again, God, we say thank you in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Pastor, that's a beautiful prayer. We thank you for that. We wish you and your family just a wonderful holiday. And do you have a website and everything on the campaign?
We're launching by the end of the week.
Okay. Well, I want to make sure we get that out there. Website, yes, phone number, you know, the whole bit, so everybody knows. Pastor, I'm hugging you in cyberspace, and thank you for calling in.
No, thank you all so very much for this platform and for what you do.
Amen.
God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you. I know we have three more callers. We may not get to y'all. I apologize. We only have about a minute or two. I want to make sure everybody knows that we're going to be talking a lot more about Metro. I had a couple of y'all call in. And what I'm going to do in the new year is make sure we talk about some of the things on Metro. And I'll do the part with the board and I'll write it out. But I think that I was writing it out and I really wasn't being aware about making sure people are following me by just listening. So I'm going to make sure we get that. And we're going to keep talking about all these people that are trying to put Houston back, that clearly have no concern for those that need transit to get to work on their daily lives. And we're going to talk all about it. And so we know that the next two episodes, I'm going to be playing Christmas songs. And I'm going to be playing some of those songs that mean a lot to me and to my family. And so we will see you in the new year, Houston. But Houston, whatever you're doing, take a pause. Love your family. Give them a big hug. eat lots of food, take that nap, because these are the memories that will last a lifetime. Let's also congratulate all of our new city council members and elected officials, because they're going to need our help. And Houston, this is Gilbert Garcia from a tip of from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer with my sidekick, Ruby Dang, wishing you and yours a very happy New Year and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ. 1360 AM and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK 1140 AM and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH 1230 AM, The Source. On Send Geek Radio 95.1 FM 1460 AM. And Aliento Radio 101.7 FM and 1540 AM. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then.